My guy. My G.
Yeah.
My man.
Yeah. Straight like that.
Gang Green up in this thing.
You know where we at.
Before we get started.
And you know how it's gonna go.
Before we get started, let me do this the correct way.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta stop the music for a serious moment here. Hip hop lost a general, a forefather, well not forefather, more like a godfather, a gatekeeper, a tastemaker, a legend, a DJ, a mixmaster. If it wasn't for this man, we wouldn't have had the soundtracks that we have from people like Big Daddy Kane. We quite possibly wouldn't have had Biggie Smalls in the way that we know him now. Rest in peace to the incomparable, the finisher, DJ Mr. C. Wow. Just wow.
That's crazy.
Man had a live radio show on Sirius XM, and apparently sometime after that show, he passed away at the ripe old age of 57. Too soon, if you ask me.
Man, what is you saying?
Yeah.
That's too early, bro.
But hell of a talent regardless. If you haven't checked out any of his mixtapes, I highly recommend Five Deadly Venoms of Brooklyn with DJ Premier. Evil D, Mr. C is on it too. Tony Touch. Man.
Toca.
Yeah, man. This one's for you, Mr. C. You know what I'm saying? I will be bumping some. I got some stuff in my archives. I'll be bumping like around the these North Carolina streets, if you will. Now, that out the way. One more order of business, and of course the music is on here. Let me show the shirt real quick.
Oh yeah. Mm. I'm back. Yeah, that's misleading.
Not necessarily. There are people who are suffering right now, suffering in silence. They have no voice. And let's give it up one time. It's your daily acknowledgement. 1,316 days. Number one in main events at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
Roman Reigns and Apollo Legend. He's still with us. But yeah, he's no longer the WWE Grand Champion.
Still my champion.
He,
in my mind, we beat Hogan.
No disrespect, Rock. Your cousin is the real people's champion.
Over under 50% that belt comes into play at some point.
SummerSlam. Over 50%.
I think we rushing it. I think we got a little more tread on the tire than that.
You think we can dog walk this until Mania 2025?
We can do all things. We can do all things with the final boss who strengthens us.
And Eid Mubarak to my Muslim people. You
see, all of our friends that are celebrating Ramadan.
Happy Eid. Indeed. Hey, see what I did there? Indeed.
Culturally inclusive. We're culturally inclusive here at the Broken Pencil Booking Company Pro Wrestling Podcast.
We're doing our calisthenics. We're doing our warm-ups right now.
Yeah, get your ones and twos together.
This is going to be another sprint, not a marathon.
Yeah, we're back on this fast break offense. Well, you know,
this
it's
is
a lot going on, but
not really. We'll talk about it because I would have expected more, but I'm happy with where we're at. Today is Wednesday, April Wednesday. Wednesday, April the 10th. Yeah, my Lord. I said, yeah, my Lord.
Yeah, my Lord.
20 and 20, 4 for 4.
Would you like fries with that, sir?
Not today.
Apple slices?
Oh, I will never turn down food. Pause.
Dipping sauce for your nuggets. Pause.
Since you give me the apple slices, I'm gonna take it back to middle school, honey.
You've done that recently.
Have I? Have I done honey? This is the mood I'm in. Okay. Let me dial it back. Let's go with some mango habanero.
Okay. The spice of life. Yeah. Mango habanero for you.
The spice of life. Let the church say.
Hey, man.
30 minutes on the clock, please.
Let's get it.
Your timer starts in that.
Okay.
WrestleMania
night one.
XL night one. Boy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. My weekend was... I lived WrestleMania night one in reverse. I'm not even playing. By the time I was able to log in, we were at the final boss in the Tribal Chief taking on Cody and Seth.
Yikes.
And I thought we were going to get more chaos. We got Rock. Rock was in his bag. Let me say that.
He was so far in his bag on night one. I wanted more on night two. But go ahead.
Yeah. So that's my point. He took.
But I will say, if you're going to do the in-depth analysis on this match, the rest of the card for night one is not going to measure up. So you might want
to... No. I'm not putting too much stink on it. All I'm saying is the way Rock encompassed three different personalities of himself, one of them being real, into this match for the sake of entertainment, chef's kiss. Because either you really hated him or you really loved him. And the more outside the box he got inside that bag, the more I was like, yeah, more.
and as that's what I was saying, like, by comparison, the rest of night one is not gonna measure up. If this is where we start the review, none of the rest of the card measures up. Right?
But the order, the sequencing was perfect.
Right, you started at the end of it, though, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I appreciated how it went, because I went to that one, went back to saw Sammy backstage. Now, I love the fact that with Sammy, they're doing this continuous camera shot. It doesn't matter where he's at, Monday Night Raw, SmackDown, pay per view, they're doing a continuous camera shot to add a level of athleticism and realism to whatever he's doing. Why they chose him for this, I don't know, but it works.
Because you got to give him something.
And they did.
Sami Zayn bears a strong resemblance to WWE's adult Make-A-Wish kid.
You're a winner. WWE Intercontinental Champion upsetting Walter in our house at a record 666 days, Sami Zayn.
You know what I actually hated more about the ending of this match? Now, number one, I knew it was going to happen, but I was already against it. But because of a debut that we got on Raw after Mania, it made me dislike the ending to this match even more.
What debut might that be? Because mind you, I was in the air for Raw.
Because the NXT Heavyweight Champion, Ilya Dragunov, debuted on Monday and walked down and officially turned Shinsuke Nakamura into a glorified
enhancement talent,
which I have mixed feelings about. But how could we not have had... he's earned it, Walter. How could we not have had him retain and then come out, talk his talk, and then that's where you bring Dragunov and you basically stop the streak there, because that's the guy who stopped the streak in NXT. You have a continuation of a narrative.
I don't like that only because he's the NXT champion. There's no...
I don't watch NXT. I don't care about any of that.
Well, it was done. Wasn't Sami Zayn the NXT champion? Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens NXT champion when he beat John Cena for the U.S. belt?
Yes.
I didn't like that either. I understood.
I understood
beating John Cena, but to take a work rate title from the main roster when you are the champion of a brand, it diminishes the meaning of the championship for the brand in my eyes.
Depends on how strong that champion is.
Kevin Owens was a strong champion. Say he wasn't. Because he was killing. He killed Sami Zayn.
It was a short reign, though.
Yeah, it was. It definitely was. But what he did leading up to and while he had that title.
And if that's a side effect of beating John Cena, fine, I'll take it. Fine, cool. We have ways to fix this.
Yeah.
I'll take the win over Cena over trying to protect a title that, while is important, ain't that important.
How about
you? You gonna give back a win versus a 16-time World Heavyweight Champion to protect the NXT title? I didn't think so.
Nah.
Now tell me again why Dragunov couldn't have, see? No, we gonna enforce even more logic in year 7.
All right, listen. This is the you see what it is.
No, clamp
right
down.
There, the BPBC era.
We've got to clamp down. You have got to clamp down on logic this year.
How do you feel about the showcase of the triple heroes, the heroes, or triple heroine, Jay Cargill, Naomi, and Bianca Belair taking on?
So when I first saw the picture from SmackDown, I said they took the Powerpuff Girls and dropped them in assorted flavors of chocolate. That went
French vanilla butter pecan chocolate deluxe.
I made the mistake of saying that online, though, and you know when you say something online, it lives takes forever. Off. It lives forever. It takes off, and then people start putting their own spin on it. So before the weekend was over, someone had a graphic made with actual Black Powerpuff Girls.
Wow.
So even funnier turn. So after WrestleMania, we see a post that says the Cocoa Butter Combat
Club. Cocoa Butter Combat Club.
Which I thought was hilarious. not going to play with you, not going to cap with you. That I felt like that was hilarious.
I could smell that picture.
At this point, that was like, okay, you know what? We've hit a ceiling. This may be the greatest thing ever. But of course, because of shout out to Broken Pencil Logic and all the members of the gang.
Yeah, Gang Green.
The official Gang Green. Things got a little more animated. And if I can find this actual piece of media, there were several other names added to attempt to name this crew.
Now you got me digging.
The Shea Butter Society. The Motions Mob. Who else we got on here? Lust is Pink. Wait, no. No. It's just they were describing what the photo smelled like Lust is Pink oil. So, hey, you got, if you know, you know. Who else we got on here? Of course, of course, Cocoa Butter Combat Club didn't sit well with my co-host here. He said, absolutely not.
Just because I said absolutely not doesn't mean it didn't sit well.
Shout out to Don Cloud, who says the photograph smells like peach cobbler.
Hey.
I mean, it's a beautiful time. You can't upset me about this at all. But I did have one note that I took from it. And I looked at the three of them and I said, of course, if no one in the room is paying attention, they can't wait to get to a point where they can break this group up and they feud. I started looking at them, and the more I looked at them, WrestleMania and the press conference and seeing how they interacted with each other, a light bulb went off for me. And I said, there's more money in them being unified.
So much power. Go ahead.
So much so that I said, you know what? They should be the female incarnation of New Day.
You think New Day?
The way... Okay, think about...
Because Jade is being presented like Big E. You right.
Don't even look at it so much like trying to mirror the members. I mean the effect of the group itself. The New Day has always been able to do what? Keep WWE somewhat culturally relevant by bringing in pieces of the culture from the culture and it being accurate when it's used.
There's no more cultured woman on the roster than Bianca Belair. From the girl, to you don't go here and all, like, she's a...
They're able to deliver quite a bit of culture without looking...
coonish.
Yes, that's the word I was looking for, but I was trying to find a different version of it. But they bring the culture and it's not offensive, it's authentic. So if you keep those three together and let their personalities play off of one another, you can kind of see it from watching the night one press conference.
All three from the South, too.
You got a whole bunch of money.
You got two Floridians, mm-hmm. and a Tennessean. So they Southern to the bone marrow.
All three happily married, which it makes a difference, but it doesn't. But when you start doing the whole, like, these are the superheroes that we're trying to sell as toys and as merchandise and as role models and as people that you would want to pay to come see, things like that start to matter, because fans of wrestling and fans of sports and just people in America in general always like to do a deep dive below the surface with stuff that doesn't really concern them. So when the stuff that doesn't concern them is actually good, cool, let's exploit it.
Car crash, six team tag team match for both straps. The man of the night, our champion, he should be yours. With the big win at WrestleMania, R-Truth gets a tag team belt and also gets his first WrestleMania win in the process.
Tell me anything you want, just make sure you tell me the truth.
There was a time, I want to say 2011, maybe 2010, where R-Truth's total pay-per-view time was less than what he had in this match this past Sunday.
Look.
Or Saturday, rather, not Sunday.
He is everything that you would describe you want out of a WWE superstar. Comes to work, handles business, makes chicken salad out of, you know, the other stuff.
You said this. You coined this, Wav, on this very program.
Uh-huh.
The two best abilities for a superhero go.
Availability and reliability.
Circle gets the square. Suave, tell them what he's won.
What you have won is the greatness of being able to have experienced R-Truth in real time.
That's it.
Because quite honestly, he is a gift, and he is a gift that keeps on giving. Anyone feeling differently and who is within your vicinity, I want you to relocate yourself immediately, because that person is miserable and they're a horrible influence on you.
How'd you feel about Jimmy versus Jay?
Wasn't what I was expecting.
At all.
The crowd didn't help, and they didn't help the crowd. Like, what it feels like is there should have been more to keep them beefing in the time that they separated. Like, it wasn't, you know what I mean? There should have been more encounters of them going back and forth with each other to make it come to a fever pitch. Like, it just felt like, okay, they split from the SummerSlam thing. They had the blow up, cost them a match here, cost them a match there. But it really do feel like Jay had moved on.
And then, mommy versus Becky Lynch, the right woman won, and the match was in the right spot.
Of course, never in doubt.
Anything else from night one?
Actually, no.
All right, take it to night. How was the commentary? Because I hadn't listened to the commentary. I just saw matches from night one.
I enjoy. I mean, it was cool. Like, I can't.
Okay, good. You said it was cool. That leads me to night two. From what I heard, night two, they got active.
Some people, they did, but also some people are putting a 2 on the 10.
Okay.
So we'll go through it. Start with the first match. I'll give you honest feedback about how active they got.
Seth versus Drew McIntyre.
CM Punk, he did just enough he didn't bury anybody. So you could tell he was kind of he was working with it. Everybody was working together for one common goal. He got enough funny lines off. He got enough slug shot, but he didn't bury anybody in the process. And it actually made the match a little better than it even already was.
And in that match, we had a winner. Damian Priest holds the belt for a whopping 5 minutes and approximately 37 seconds.
Because you out there jawing. You out there lip boxing. You can't get no more wins tonight, Drew. Go to the highs.
And you got your cash in, and you end up walking out of the empty-handed, Drew. Damian Priest.
Trending for two reasons.
Damian Priest is your new participation trophy champion.
Yeah, so for those of you who don't know about our friend Damian Priest's trending, it's one, he cashed in being Mr. Senior Money in the Bank and transitioned that into World Heavyweight Champion. And then Twitter decided to transition him into another hashtag that started trending. One I will not repeat.
I'll repeat it. And I'll tell you why I'll repeat it.
Okay, go ahead.
Because Rhea Ripley called him that on Instagram.
She went over the line. And I'm not 100% certain that's an actual response of hers. If they have a department like Daniel Bryan, then someone's getting fined. Because this is conduct detrimental.
Not verified. I'm with you now. I'll leave it alone. But you can do your Googles. If you know what we're talking about, laugh with us because it is hilarious.
Yeah. But then it transitioned again. So Drew had a version he could use on television. So shout out to the Bondage Undertaker.
Man.
His hair weave was given Toronto Raptors.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
It was giving Toronto. The six.
What Bobby Lashley, Street Profits taking on Paul final Ellering testament. Them. Paul Ellering and them.
The final testament. Give them some. You know what? In Philadelphia with that shirt on. My God, what is his name?
Bully Ray?
No. Shout out to Bully Ray. You know, he did his thing. He made that check play.
Yeah, he did.
He secured that bag. I know he did that much. What? I'm drawing a blank on his name. He's the leader of the Final Testament.
Oh, Karrion Kross.
Yes, Karrion Kross with that ECW shirt on and like the scraggly beard but the uneven mustache. He looks like an ECW original. He looks like he would have run, you know, he would have run opposite Tommy Dreamer or something.
He would have fit in. He could have been part of the team with like Shane Douglas.
He'd have been like Raven's closest homeboy or something.
the one that didn't drug out.
Right.
Oh,
that's ridiculous. But yes.
What else do we have because we leading up to the end there.
Have you ever seen so much pandering to the home city during a WrestleMania?
No, not at all. And that made me so sick. Philadelphia did not deserve that.
I mean, the level of pandering with wrestling gear and just, I'm like,
Logan Paul, like, how is he from Cleveland supporting the Eagles of all people? Like,
fam, you're a heel.
Like,
if we really playing heel games, like somebody should have came out dressed in Cowboys colors.
If we gonna be active about it.
Like if you really trying to get some heat, like do something.
LA Knight versus AJ.
Hey, do something.
LA Knight versus AJ. The lead up, all of the press conferences, the at home fights.
They tried hard.
That was way better than the match. The match was good, but it wasn't as good as the outside the ring stuff. Logan Paul versus Kevin Owens and Randy Orton.
It was creative.
It builds Logan as the chicken heel even more than what we already knew he was. And but he's man, he's so I don't even want to give him the credit, but he's so talented, man. He does a good job in that ring. I'll give him that. Bayley versus Io.
I was in and out on this.
Well, winner and new. Winner and
really,
new.
Yeah. I got the result I was looking for. It didn't really hold me crazy, but that's nothing against them.
And then before we go into the main event, let's talk about this real quick. God MC goes into the Hall of Fame, and they give him the curtain jerker at the Hall of Fame. Do you think that they should have waited on that later in the show, or you think that him kicking it off was the right move?
I haven't watched it yet, but...
Oh, you have not?
No. The new rule of thumb is to put, in these situations, because you're later in the evening and you're essentially booking your card backwards. You put your main event on first so that everybody sees what they came for and then trickle the rest of it out. So I'm cool with it.
Yeah, so, yeah.
They had already sat through SmackDown, so yeah.
Yeah, and Paulie was great. I really, no disrespect to Conor and Conor's Cure, but I'm so glad we're done with the Conor the Crusher Award. I'm so glad we're done with the Warrior recipient. Like, all that is... I do think they do need to pay tribute and pay homage to hands, referees, production, like, you know, certain people in positions that are not appreciated do deserve. Jim Johnston, like, he... CFOs, like, they should be in the WWE Hall of Fame. If Jim Johnston is not, that's a travesty. But I will say, with this being, as I thought it was disingenuous to have Thunderbolt Patterson on there until I found out that this was 100% Triple H's doing, and it was everything. The word is genuine, and if this is indeed the Paul Levesque era, welcome to it. I'm here for it all. That takes us to our main event. Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns, Bloodline Rules. Chaos. In-house chaos, because I expected some outhouse chaos, but we got nothing but in-house chaos. You didn't have to do this. You did not have to. In retrospect, there really was no wrong choice in this, but you did not have to do this.
I was kind of taken aback the whole time, because to me, the way they set up Bloodline Rules for it to be just like, we can do whatever we want the whole time, nobody can stop us. Why didn't we just jump Cody from the word go? Why didn't we four deep stomp Cody's head into the ground during his entrance, drag him to the ring, pin him, put the lower third up, and head to the press conference?
And the story continues.
Right. Because you've given me the whole buildup. You've given me this. There's an air of realism around this. And you're like, okay, if we can get to August, we can pass Hogan. I don't care what you do after that. That's just my personal wish for it. Then I'm like, okay, you have all these different things at play. If it's Bloodline Rules and you saw what Rocky did on night one, how is anybody ever supposed to pin Rogue? You tell the referee, you count, you're fired.
And it shouldn't take 25 minutes for the first person to come and interfere in this match. We expected chaos.
You see what I mean? Like, and then even with the pin, it's like, here's the Easter egg, the deep cut. How did we finish the story without a dusty finish?
But could you have a dusty finish in a no DQ match?
You can do whatever you want because it's Bloodline Rules. You've already established that.
There you go. Yep.
You've established you can do whatever you want.
If you have not watched the press conferences, both of them were gems. But yeah. Specifically night one, and the more Rock. Specifically The Rock?
Walked off. The Rock almost got everybody indicted.
Roman, don't get me wrong. Roman was a gem too. Leave.
Yeah. Say, Roman did some of the strongest character work in life.
Who did that? Leave. Someone who was giving...
I'm serious. Get her out of here.
Get her out or I leave. And we're not going to be here all night.
I got work to do
tomorrow.
Better start asking some decent questions too. Start by acknowledging your tribal chief.
Jim, absolute gem. You must go check those two out if you don't do anything else. What else do we have on the AGN day for the day? Punk versus AEW. So CM Punk did a 1 hour plus, almost 2 hour interview with Ariel Helwani last week and dropped some nuggets about the whole All In, Brawl In situation backstage. And, you know, he was very pragmatic in his approach, because there's three sides to every story. And I think his side was very pragmatic approach to the situation. And that was blown to bits on AEW when Nick and Matt, I refuse to call them anything else but Nick and Matt, they decide to actually show the security camera footage from Wembley backstage without editing anything.
No audio.
There's no audio. I don't know if we don't know if there was audio or not, but all we saw was finger pointing, finger wagging, and then a choke out.
It went about how it'd been described the entire time I've been hearing stories. And doesn't matter what side it was coming from. All the stories we'd ever heard, all the accounts we'd ever gotten, whether it be from official people or people who saw it and didn't want to be named, was exactly what we saw.
Other than the fracas being so close to what appeared to be production,
the gorilla position,
did you see any reason for anyone not in the camera shot to quote unquote fear for their life?
No. And that's the reason I feel like audio would have probably given too much away in one direction or the other. Because if you say that guy yelled at me and made me fear for my life, wouldn't you want that to be heard?
This is it, from what Nick and Matt said on AEW Dynamite, and from the video that they showed after they said what they said, this was nothing more than a dust up, and Samoa Joe was the adult in the situation, which we've said this before, that he was an adult in the situation, but this was nothing more than a dust up.
This is exactly what happened, how Joe described it. This is nothing new.
Stock up, stock down for AEW after showing this crap.
Down, down, down. And I hate it for them, because this is a L you didn't have to take. This is a self-inflicted wound, and this one's worse. Most of your big wounds have been self-inflicted, but this one is a different. You cut yourself deep.
Punk revealed that he was free and clear after he walked out of AEW and could have shown up on Monday Night Raw the very next day. The checkbook would have been open and blank.
Could have pulled a Lex Luger.
This would have been way bigger than Luger.
Of course. I mean, it's 2024.
If for no other reason than that.
Well, it would have been 2023, but still.
Still. And even if that was the only appearance that he would have made in 2023, it would have been enough, but it probably would have been the end of AEW had it happened. I digress. Where do you think the Punk, not necessarily WWE, because WWE is going a completely different direction, which we'll do a deep dive into that next week. But where do you think the Punk goes from here?
To finish rehabbing, and then to see about Drew come SummerSlam.
Do you think
cash these checks in the meantime for merch?
Negative press is free advertisement, and Uncle Paul ain't doing he ain't writing no free checks.
So you've seen Dynamite, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know what gassed this up, but this is the Hit Dogs Holler episode of AEW Dynamite. Like, this is the most sensitive episode I've ever seen. So you have the thing with, you know, showing this footage from All In. I don't know who that helps. You didn't turn it into a good storyline plot point. You just showed it to be showing it.
The before and after just was way below the standard of what you had in front of you.
Then Will Ospreay comes out to cut a promo, and his is a little more it makes a little more sense because everyone felt like he got a slug shot at him by Triple H during some of the presser and pre-show stuff. And they asked about, hey, what do you look for when you're signing talent? He's like, well, I know who's good. We have feelers out everywhere. But if you don't want to come here for the grind and you want to go somewhere else because it might be, air quotes, a bigger payday where you work less days, you're not the type of person I want here, especially if you're basically in your younger stages.
That is literally the story of Jay Briscoe and Mark Briscoe. And not because they didn't want it, it's because they had business outside of professional wrestling.
Different conversation.
Completely different conversation.
When you're financially well off before you get into this situation, or like Okada's what, 36?
Ish.
He's mid to late 30s, 30-ish.
Uh-oh, we in overtime.
Okay. Overtime offense, but...
5 minutes on the clock, go ahead.
Okada's a little older. With him being a little older, it's like you kind of understand he might want a lighter schedule, especially when he has to acclimate to coming over to... you know, United States. For the longest, Walter didn't want to come over to the United States, so he needed some acclimation time. I think they would have said the same thing about Will Ospreay, and I guess he took offense to what was said, and he decided to cut a promo and try to shoot a slug, and I'm like...
I really hope, if nothing else for Will Ospreay, that AEW has got their visa issues under control. Because the last thing you need is to come into something like, oh, I don't know, Forbidden Door 3, or, oh, I don't know, All Out, or even better yet, oh, I don't know, Double or Nothing.
Right. You're doing all this international flying and on the company dime, I'm certain. So it's not so much of a flex to call flying first class intercontinentally every week a flex about how I'm on the grind. That's just kind of being out of touch with, you know, with people who think past the surface.
If you're getting like, direct flights across the pond,
you know he ain't. You know he getting direct flights. Ain't no stop.
Listen, man, listen. After the travel weekend I had from hell, even the Undertaker would look at me like, it's just.
You can't claim you got it out the mud and you take your first class flights internationally every week on the company dime.
If you're not waiting in security lines, if you're not being diverted, if your flight isn't being canceled.
Which I completely understand that he's probably lived that life, but you're not living that life right now.
And you're still in your 20s and you're not living that life right now.
So let's
there's not, people that hey, there's people that got to their 40s and still had to live that life.
Don't start banging on wax when life is good. Like if you was gonna do that when you still struggling. Life is good now. Don't start banging.
I got a plastic bottle of spring water as opposed to my usual glass
with bubbles in it.
That's a problem for me.
I drink Fiji. It's the wettest water in North America.
The wettest water. It's the wettest water, son.
You feel me? Like, I understand you want to get your lick back. You got to shoot your slugs off. You got to defend yourself. But, yeah, that.
Please get out of here with that. And the fact that y'all had to build a world title eliminator match with a Rhodes versus a Samoan on Dynamite.
I didn't even think about it like that. That is T-move for real. Oh my god. I didn't think about it to that extent. I'm just like, okay, you're gonna play off the fact that Cody's probably finna finish his story. Let's see what we can get done. I didn't even take into account that Joe's a Samoan.
Because his name is Samoa Joe. It's the lowest of hanging fruit. You look over it because it's part of his name. It's like,
when you're a deep thinker, you don't look for low hanging fruit.
But I just, when I saw that, I'm like, first of all, this can't be for the belt. Because if it's for the belt, you can hang it up. Being an eliminator match, now Dustin has a shot at winning. Only because of the swerve tie-in. But we knew full well Dustin wasn't going to win that match from the giddy-up. I'm just happy they gave him the respect and put it as the main event. Because for them to open the show with that would have been ridiculous. And they tried it. Dark Side of the Ring. Boy.
I think we got a new candidate for wildest episode of all time.
I jumped the shark at the beginning of this season with Buff Bagwell.
That's what you thought, huh?
Chris Cole?
Yeah. You don't throw rocks at a man who's got a machine gun.
Jack is still number one. Chris Cole is right underneath him. Like, it's...
No DDO, no doubt. I tuned out a couple times because I was like, hey, this is wild. I got to come back and watch this while I'm focused.
I'm pretty astute in my late 70s, early to mid 80s territory game.
Right.
I'm familiar with Mike Boyette.
Okay.
I had no idea about this Chris Cole character, but oh my goodness. This episode is not even for children.
Nah, at all. Like, they got to take a break.
If they don't come back next week, I'm okay with that.
Yo!
No. Just for a break. Just a 1 week. You know how you do the mid-season
hiatus? Nah. We don't need none of those, B.
But next week.
Jump right back into the... Yeah, jump back in.
Next week, we got Gentleman Chris Adams.
We finna get more lit.
Yeah, we gonna get super lit.
It's gonna be as dark.
It gets dark. That's gonna get dark.
How much darker in comparison to Chris Cole? Are we gonna
stop it, Suave? You stacking now.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I know I've heard enough of Chris Adams' stories. No, it gets dark at some point, but look at what we just watched.
Yeah,
that might be the darkest of the dark of this.
The
season.
Shock and awe of the fact that we didn't know who this guy is. I wonder if you didn't end the season with this, what are you ending the season with?
It was my first time seeing him, but because of other programs that I frequent, I've heard the name, heard a couple of stories about, like, this dude was wild, had never heard any of those stories told in detail, and had never seen what the guy looks like.
I'm trying to find, because we talked about it before on a previous episode, but I want to find out. All right, season 5 reveal. Let's see what we have here.
Okay.
They're probably going to end it with Angle, would be my guess. But we have...
Who is affectionately known on the internet as Perk Angle.
Yes.
Hey, we didn't make that up.
Black Saturday, Sandman, and Perk Angle is probably going to be the last three we're going to get this season after we get Chris Adams. So I would probably say we're going to end it with Perk Angle, and Black Saturday will probably be the come down for Chris Adams. The Sandman, we got to build back up. So hopefully we get more New Jack stories out of Sandman because he's still with us. So
I'll go Sandman as the come down from Chris Colt. I'll go Black Saturday to end.
Really?
Yeah, just because.
That's a really short story, Black Saturday, but I would like to see how they stretch this to 45 minutes for a viewing.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if it's short like we know it, and they got 45 minutes out of it, the story can't be as short as we've heard.
Yeah, there's always more.
I think Black Saturday will be like a sleeper, like the steroid trial episode was.
Don't worry. The marathon's over. Or the sprint's over, where the marathon continues. Show at BrokenPistolBC.com, BrokenPistolBC@gmail.com. That's at BrokenPistolBC on all things social, at BrokenPistolBC on what?
Everything.
And Suave, you can do me a favor. We're going to do this one more time because we need to. This is your daily acknowledgement.
1316.
One more time for DJ Mr. C. And now we can take him to the house.
Pencil pushers. Like, rate, subscribe, share, tell a friend, tell that friend to tell a friend, and then tell that friend again. Heads up, pencils down. I have prepared a statement to ingratiate the listening and sometimes viewing audience about my whole stance on this big three beef. In particular, J. Cole's entrance and then immediate exit.
I already know what I have to say about that, man. That one's real quick.
So I've seen people say that, you know, he, I guess he's protecting his peace. whatever the case is. I've seen all of the new school explanations for this. My prepared statement, because this is the same one I've used responding to a couple of people, so I felt like, you know what, need to have an official situation. The statement goes as follows.
From the mayor, of course.
Dictated, not read. The time to be introspective and peaceful was before you recorded it. Hell, even before you released it. And let's be clear, 7-Minute Drill isn't the only song on that release that has subs and disses in it. Future and another couple people caught slugs. So it's either I'm a walking bar machine or I'm burning incense in the park barefoot. There is no in between in this instance, because we're not talking about street beef. We were in a discussion of hip hop as a competitive sport based on quality of lyrics. Cole has done irreparable damage to his brand unless he is looking to open a mega church soon. End quote.
Let the record reflect. This should come to no surprise to not just you, but anyone who knows me. I ain't heard shit. I ain't heard Nan Bar from either one of them.
Take it from someone who can rap. In this particular instance, if you have never liked J. Cole and his material, this will do nothing to change it.
That's the thing.
If you enjoy J. Cole, this would, the content itself did nothing to change you from liking him. He gave you what he always gives you. Thing is, you can't jump on these features and these, you know, random drops rapping about how great at this you are, how much work you put into it, which you can hear it. Like, people with bars, you can hear that he is putting this work in. So every time he says he's putting himself through writing drills and making himself, you know, produce to get better, you can tell when someone's been shooting in the gym. J. Cole has been shooting in the gym. Problem is, when it was time to go to the Rucker, you fake rolled an ankle. You shot one shot and then sprained your ankle coming back up the court.
He was playing with a ball. He was playing with a ball boy, and when it came time for an actual game, he decided to roll his ankle.
No diddly diddly d. No, 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 I, no, no ball. Don't insert any ball boys. No ring crew. No ring boys. None of that. It's hard to come back from that. Like, how do you swing first and then wave the white flag?
I'm gonna tell you. I'm going to tell you, and a lot of people weren't aware of this. The only reason why I was is because I'm 20 minutes away from ground zero.
Mm-hmm.
When Kendrick dropped that verse, or whatever he dropped, 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. On Futures, we don't trust you.
Whatever it was, don't even matter what it was. Everybody wondered if, when he was going to say something, and I knew the exact date it was going to happen, and I knew that date was going to be Friday, April the 5th, year of our Lord.
Year of our Lord.
I said year of our Lord.
Year of our Lord.
20 and 24 for foe.
Fries with that?
Hell no, we on a diet today.
Are we recording?
Yeah.
The visuals?
No, just audio. Visuals coming.
Why are we doing an intro?
I'm just doing this shit for the conversation's sake. Because I'm going to give you a date, I got to say year of our Lord.
Mm. Interesting.
The significance of that is the kickoff of the Dreamville Festival.
Mm-hmm.
Why would he not drop an album before the start of the festival.
Totally understandable.
Why would you not include a diss record, especially since you are, you don't have a situation. You literally are the situation. Now, I ain't talking about the dream, I'm talking about the industry, right? You the situation. You in the building.
Mm-hmm. You building up to a huge album that
not even that. I'm talking lower than that. He is synonymous. He's more synonymous with Roc Nation than Jay-Z is. He's the situation. And I don't know what the historic attendance levels at Dreamville. The park that it's at is a perfect festival ground. Apparently this year they have 57,000 in attendance on that Sunday. But I can guarantee you half of that came because of what happened on Friday. And for them to get there on Sunday to see him have a, and I'm throwing this in air quotes, grown man moment.
Debatable.
It's only debate. You and I both know.
Because again, like from my prepared statement, if you're so mature, you're so grown man, you're so forward thinking, you're so about your peace, then you wouldn't have done that.
Don't spray a crowd and then be mad when you hit a child, or have sympathy or have empathy when you hit a child. And I'm not calling Kendrick Lamar a child by any stretch of the imagination, but that's the attitude that Jermaine took. I could have done without before Friday. I can damn sure do without after what happened Sunday. I'm straight.
He can rap. So that was never my issue. Now, some people, because of the heightened profile of the person you're going at, they expected Cole to get outside of himself. And you expected they expected to hear something from him that essentially he had never done. Now, he will bar you up. If you mess around and get out there treading lightly, he will cute line you to death. Like death by a thousand
paper cuts.
Yeah, 1,000 paper cuts. You'll still bleed to death.
It's going to be painful and slow.
Right. And it'll only get under your skin if you either can rap or you really listen to lyrics. If you do, you know how good Cole is. And he's killing everybody on their own songs, on these features. You're starting to build a mystique as though, like, this the guy I want on my song, but this ain't the guy I want on my song. And then when you get an opportunity to assert dominance in that particular arena, I don't understand how you shied away from that moment. Like, I get it. Like, okay, assume this happened, which I don't know anybody on the inside of the conversation like that. That's spoken to me. But assume it went like this. Kendrick Layton got off on his verse. To me, most of it seemed like it was aimed at Drake. Like, J. Cole actually was the child in the crowd. He caught a stray and wasn't supposed to. J. Cole decides, okay, I got some stuff to get off my chest anyway. I got a whole list of diss records. Because like I said, there are multiple people who are either linked to or outright called out in these other songs.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see that energy kind of like, okay, cool, you think I'm playing, so let me just go on and walk down and get everybody at one time.
FAAFO.
You know what I'm saying? I like that energy if that's what he was bringing, because it's like, look, you don't fool with these people. You're not going to be taking pictures with them like that. If we're just at the point where you want to say, I'm done taking the high road, I'm finna walk down and get everybody, I'm with that. Because again, we're not talking about any of the things that social media or media tries to demonize rap for. We're not talking about anything that happens in the streets.
He said media.
Yeah, like either one, because sometimes you can't tell the difference.
Right, right.
No one's trying to create, you know, East Coast, West Coast beef, volume two. No one's trying to get into any sort of
check
physical altercation. We are talking about rap. We is rapping here.
Not R&B, not country that Beyonce is on top of the charts at. We talking about rap.
Bars. We talking about bars.
Not the alcoholic hangout. Not the counter for breakfast food. We talking about rap.
Bars. So when I say he's done irreparable damage to his brand, he said it himself. I got here off of bars, not controversy. So how are you going to get on any of these good songs and say anything about how superior of a lyricist you are when the opportunity was given to you to show said superiority and you bowed out?
Not bowed out. You just took a hot steamy shit on your body of work.
Went ahead and took a knee. But let's assume when Kendrick dropped his verse and then, you know, the album's in the way, so we're going to let it out. We're going to get that energy out. And then let's say Saturday, Kendrick calls him, is like, you really wasn't a target. It really wasn't, you know, me and you good. You really wasn't a target. You just happened to catch a stray because I said the big three. And then all of a sudden, Cole wants to have a change of heart about it. I don't know if I would have. I don't know if my concession. No, first of all, I'm not having a concession speech.
Start with that. Before you say anything else, start with that.
Yeah, I'm not having a concession speech. And if there's anything that's like a concession speech, it would be like, hey, after I recorded this, spoke to the homie, we worked it out, it's a ceasefire on my side. I meant what I said when I said that, because when I said what I said when I said that, that's how I felt. We good going forward. But them bars remained. Especially if I didn't, you know, I didn't cross no real lines, and I air quotes kept it hip hop. I live with it. If you should ever want to go revisit this again, here's where you start from. And mind you, the might delete later ain't been deleted.
Mike, we knew that from jump. That was gonna be the case. We knew that. All right. Anyway, we can go ahead and get this thing moving. I got one article I need to bring up, and then we can get it moving. Hold on 1 second. Let's see here.
That probably should have been attached to this show, but then we'd have been way outside the 30-minute window.
I mean, we can always add it for bonus footage for the audio.
Hey, you know what? Why not?
We make the rules, bitch.
Yeah, like, gee willikers. Yeah, I don't understand it. I've been trying to figure this out, and nothing's making sense to me that actually brought that to fruition. Like it doesn't make sense to me at all. It just doesn't. And it's not like I'm just desperately searching for answers either, but I am a little concerned. Like, you know what I mean? Like, really little, like, concern, like, hey, is it going to rain tomorrow? That type of concern, like, I'm going to be good regardless, but, you know, I kind of want to know what's happening out here.
I'm not going to talk about this. Hold on. First and foremost, there's that already done.
It's on my grind.
check that that link I sent you, Pauls. That's the boy's official statement from being fired, contrary to what we read. But what we read, or what I told you about, seems to be more...
I've seen this. All of the text messages and screenshots and where they were supposed to leave from and where their actual flight was booked out of, and it was like 3 fucking hours away from where they live, and they didn't get a rental car because they had already been told that getting a rental car without prior approval may not be reimbursed. So this would be like officially strike 2 against the travel department.
I wonder what strike 1 would have been.
Having your main eventer ride the tube. No diddy, no doubt.
Did I go with you over this via text? Because I don't remember if I talked to you about it or not. But did you hear the other reason that possibly that they would have gotten axed along with the other 5 talents that got cut?
No.
This makes way more sense than this fiasco of a statement they let out. Even if it's true, this what I'm about to tell you makes more sense. Eddie Kingston. Rampage, no, I'm sorry, Eddie Kingston, Collision, Jericho, and I throw that in asterisks, Daniel Garcia, Swerve, and I'm missing somebody. But all of these people have songs that require licensing agreements. And the amount of money they're spending on licensing agreements for the Collision theme, and I don't know about Jericho, that's what I threw him in quotation marks, but we are in a question mark, but somebody, the other person who I'm missing in this whole thing, is equivalent to the amount of the salaries of the people that they cut. In totality.
Well, if that's the case, damn. But also, that's one of them. Well, this one of them real ninja calls you supposed to have been able to make a long time ago. It's like, look,
get your G's on the phone.
Listen, if I can cut these 10 people that are never on television and for the most part are inconsequential to the bottom line, and I can keep the sync licenses that I have for the stars I'm trying to make on television, that's a business decision. I get it. I understand. It sucks. But though, that's probably 10 people who should have been getting per diems.
Instead of being signed to actual deals. Bingo.
Instead of being on contract, and just, you should have been getting a per diem.
Because now you look like a bad boss because you put a thing ahead of, or things ahead of people.
I actually don't think he looks like a bad boss. Like, if we being G, and we should probably be recording now, but I don't feel like he's a bad boss for that. Those are the cost-cutting decisions that you would probably have to make. Now, just like, okay, with CM Punk's Cult of Personality. If you were going to continue to license that record, and that meant, and this is funny as hell, but if it meant firing Colt Cabana to keep Colt a personality seat, he up out of there. His ass is out of there.
So, hold on.
As fast as I can get the paperwork.
As much as I agree with you, like, because that puts a whole different spin on it when you throw that man's name in there. That's next level. That's special right there, bro. That's special.
I'm a little bit better than average at this.
And the people who, like you said, the people who got fired, it's unfortunate, but they weren't. It wasn't like that. They had the star power. Like, it would be different if they said, like, Dax got fired, but Cash got to stay. Got to stay. Now it's like a lottery.
Listen, hey,
And the reason why Dax got fired was a professional judgment call, not something that happened backstage or politics. You know, like just some fuckery. But anyway, I didn't want to record that part on the show because that's strictly rumor and innuendo, considering official statements have been released from Khan and from the boys. So I
mean, that would be the kind of shit where, you know, that's one of those like, oh, that does make sense. Like, I don't feel bad about having, if we were to put that on the show, I wouldn't have felt bad about that. That's not a libelous statement. That's just like, oh, here's something else to consider.
Yeah. Yeah. That's hip hop to the nth degree too.
Cause I mean, at some point he gonna start getting tight with his money. Some people gonna lose out. Ain't gonna be a whole bunch of favorite nations. He gonna have to sever ties with somebody he thought would be there till the end.
You thought.
Decisions are gonna have to be made.
All right, let's get this shit moving, man. I love the energy, bro. Love the energy.
Ooh-wee. You folk out here playing games.